Welcome to the Shared Desk, episode 77. All the Suckers! For those of you playing bingo at home, mark your cards now.
Yes. We have made it to 77. It's hard to believe, but we're here.
Yes.
At episode 77. Now I need to ask you to come closer to the mic because you're...
Now I'm not talking
there
loud
enough. There you go. It's like...
Make up your mind.
Oh, man. Between you and Brandon over at happyhourfromthetower.com, I am struggling. But that's a different podcast altogether. This is The Shared Desk, and I am your host, T. Morris.
All right, sweethearts. You heard the man, and you know the drill. Assholes and elbows. Hudson, come in. Come here.
Just, man, Hudson, just speaking to the microphone the way I taught you.
Hey,
and
now.
Across from me.
I'm Pip Valentine.
Yeah, I knew something was up, but I didn't really get it until I saw a magazine with Idris Elba on the cover and the phrase, big piece of yuck, popped into my head. I mean, I'm mildly afraid of heights, but I would not hesitate to climb that mountain.
I know you would.
Oh, Idris.
I know you would, in a heartbeat.
Our daughter now points out to me, hey, Idris Elba's in that movie, Mom.
So, she's encouraging.
I'm like,
she's encouraging
one day you'll understand.
She's encouraging your deviant behavior is what she's doing. Huh, so
welcome to another episode.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about some different stuff to what we usually talk about, because usually we're talking about writing and collaboration and all that sort of
which
good.
We are doing right now. I should point out I'm in the final edits once more with Podcasting for Dummies.
Yeah. So you're collaborating up to the eyeballs because you're also working on me.
I have stepped back into Operation Endgame tonight officially, finally. And and I'm really excited to get back into
it.
It's
going to be a fun
ride. This is it. Last ride for Books and Brawn.
Book 6. Well,
it's been so much,
last
it's
with
been
air
so
quotes.
Much,
who knows? Never say never.
It's so much damn fun, though.
It really has been. But we are continuing the series with Verity Fitzroy in the Ministry 7. So,
and I got to admit,
it's not like we're saying goodbye completely.
It's also been a lot of fun getting back into Podcasting for Dummies.
Yeah.
I actually have reconnected with some podcasts that... I know why I stopped listening. I stopped listening because I lost my commute because of the whole unemployment thing. And
but now you're back on a commute. So
I'm back on a commute. So I started listening to the Geologic podcast.
Ah,
again.
Geo.
Geo. Man, I forgot how
he
much I...
He must have been doing 10 years right now, right? Sounds like he's in the slammer. I mean, 10 years of podcasting. He's been doing 10 years of hard labor in front of a
GeologicPodcast.com. and actually, Geo has hit his 500th show.
Whoa.
He hit his 500th show, actually 16 or 17 shows back.
Wow.
And he's still got some of those great segments. He's got Rupert McClanahan's Indestructible Bastards.
You know? I love that.
he's a stitch, man. I forgot how much I enjoyed listening to George.
Okay.
So you can go ahead and check him out. And I'm rediscovering old podcasts and
finding new ones.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's been a lot of fun working with Chuck Tomasi from Technorama over at technorama.com, and
So when's that coming out again?
I believe it's going to be in September, but I can go ahead and talk a little bit about this. October 28th, my birthday. We're doing a book launch out in Phoenix, Arizona.
Yeah. We know some great people out in Phoenix.
Yes, we do.
Piper J. Drake and Matthew J. Drake are out there.
They're both out there. So the week.
So is Chuck.
So's Chuck. And then, of course,
Jack Mangan's out there.
Jack Mangan, the Iron Man of podcasting, who is no longer podcasting, but he still gets a mention in the book. He still gets a mention in the book because of the way.
We like him. Well, let's face it, we like
and
him.
Also because of the community that he ran.
That's
the
right.
Pans.
The community is still going.
They're still going. They are still going even after the podcast has said,
well, that's
I'm
nice.
hanging up for now. But I'm going to see if I can twist Jack Mangan's arm into get back into
get
podcasting.
Get back in there, jerk.
I mean, it's a
get
bit
in
like...
There.
We're kind of like
as
enablers.
As we'd say in New Zealand when like a sheepdog's hurting, like, get him behind! that sounds much ruder.
It sounds, wow, you know?
Inappropriate.
You've got to have a sheepdog to make it really. That sounds even worse. I got to quit talking now.
I don't know what the fuck you're talking about.
I don't.
Yosemite?
But I'm hoping I could twist Jack's arm to getting back into podcasting because it's like his writing.
Because that's why you're really going there in October.
That's one of my master plans, yes. But we're going there to launch the book. We're going to do a one-day workshop with podcasters, and it should be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But it's all part of how we're hoping to market the book. But
marketing?
That is what we're going to be talking about today because... Pip, you've been really busy this past week, haven't you?
So I mean, we love to write. We write a lot. We've got a lot of books. But I guess kind of got the feeling that we were kind of missing steps in marketing our books, which is also important. Let's face it, if you write a book and you're not telling people about it in the best way, in the most optimal way that you can, then your sales aren't going to reflect that. And then, you know, it can affect your writing if you're not selling books. Right.
I mean,
and you get a bit depressed and you end up not writing, you know, so it's a vicious cycle.
And I think the other thing too that we have to also acknowledge is that you hear authors talking constantly about marketing.
Yeah.
And part of the reason why I think that authors talk about marketing is because they either don't know how to do it,
yeah,
they don't believe in it, or they're bothered by it. Because some authors continuously drone on and on and on.
Buy my book. It can be repetitive and it turns you off, right?
I know. You get followed on Twitter.
So often
you get followed on Twitter by a writer, or you get followed by...
Next thing you know, they're DMing you.
And
my book.
Here we go.
Yep, it's pretty much, okay. Tell me about your awesome book. Great. What else? No, nothing else? Right.
Good day.
Then, yeah.
Good
You're day, welcome. Shut up.
And yeah, precisely.
That's the way it goes.
But I mean, so there, what people consider is marketing, and then there's good marketing that they're probably not quite so aware that they're being marketed to.
Yep.
So I wanted to, since, you know, we've done writing a lot, but we haven't really studied marketing. And because we're...
You haven't studied marketing, baby. That's my job. I mean...
No.
I meant digital marketing.
I meant specifically aimed at independent authors.
Yeah, I suppose you could say that. We've been flying
by
the seat of our
pants. We've done social media. We know social media, and social media is
an
important...
And we've written books on social media.
Yeah, and social media is a very important part of marketing.
It's not the only thing.
But it's not the only thing.
Right.
It's actually not even, I would say, quarter of the whole scope.
Social media is the first step.
Social media is the first, is a step, and it's part of building your platform. But there's other ways and tricks and tips that you can, you know, to promote your book.
Yep.
And so you're currently working on this course right now. It's called the website is yourfirst10kreaders.com.
Yeah. With a guy called Nick Stevenson.
Right. So and let me just go back to that. Well, the link is in the show notes, mm-hmm. but it's your first, the number 10 K for 10,000 readers.com.
Yeah.
And you've been pretty impressed with what
he's
asked.
Well, I looked at, I did not just merrily throw money at, you know, out there.
Right.
I read a lot of what reviews about different marketing courses. Lauren Scribe Harris is doing a different one to one I'm doing. I'm not quite sure which one she's doing.
Okay.
But this one is main, I think, is particularly good for someone that's got a couple of books out, maybe two or three. Maybe for a first-time author, if you wanted to do it, you could. But I think you get the most out of it if you've got a couple of books already in hand, ready to go.
You're talking about this. This
for
is
this,
the current
this
one.
Course,
right,
yeah.
Right, right.
So Lauren is got a you know, she's got her first book out,
right?
Unleash, but she's got a couple of novellas. So she's working on a different course, and we're gonna you know, brainstorm what we've learned from these courses.
Now, this marketing course that you're currently taking, though. Mm-hmm. It does focus on your online platform, correct?
Yes. It is designed for ebook sales.
All right.
So it's all online. I should point out that Nick does not have this course running all the time. He opens it, I'm not sure how many times a year, but a few times a year. He also has some, of course, following his own advice, he has some free stuff so you can watch some videos and learn about some of the things that he... knows and has learned over his time. I should say Nick is a very successful mystery and thriller writer in his own right.
Well, this is the opening intro for what he has to say. This mm-hmm. is the exact system I used to grow my business from $0 to $1 million in 24 months and is used by thousands of my students worldwide. Learn how to grow your audience on autopilot and sell more books and other products without being sleazy.
Yeah.
And I appreciate that. He's been featured on the Creative Pen podcast.
Yes.
And
now that was actually figured into my decision to try this one out because two people that I know are doing well, Stuart Jaffe and Joanna Penn, have both done this course. Now, when you sign up, you also can become part of their private Facebook group, I've learned a lot from just, and that's just people who are doing the same course or have done the course. And so that's a nice community thing that's built into it.
Okay.
I think it's 52 or 54 videos, so it's quite a bit of material.
You got a lot of stuff to go through.
I got a lot of stuff to go through. It's got, it mostly focuses on marketing, although there is a little bit of craft, writing craft thrown in.
Right.
As freebies bonus, but it is mostly a marketing thing.
So let's talk a little bit about this then. So, I know you've been making a lot of changes to the ministry website over at ministryofpeculiarcurrences.com. Now, you and I went back and forth talking about the action item, about what kind of action item, like, and what I define as an action item is when you get to someone's website and a pop-up window comes up, very subtle.
It's kind of in your face. Yeah, it's designed to be in your face.
Yeah, and it basically says, "Do you want to get a free ebook? Yes or no?
Yeah.
Do you want to subscribe to my mailing list? Yes or no?" I was actually going to approach you about that and say, "Do you want to go on ahead and do this for our websites?" Because I have been toying around with doing it on my personal website mainly because I'm seeing other authors do it. Now you think that's not a good idea. Why is that?
Well. The main thing there is, I'm going to throw some marketing terms
in here. Go for it. Yeah, that's what we're all talking about.
Nick aims towards having a perma-free item. So that's a book that you've already had out and you're going to make that permanently free. And in that, so people go buy that, then they...
They download it.
They download that. Well, they buy. They get it for free. Inside that is what you call the magnet. Sorry. I've got to click that out. Okay.
No. You're doing fine. What was?
It's me. It's me doing.
you're doing a beatnik.
Okay. So the free item is called your book funnel, and it's designed to drive people towards subscribing to your email list.
I think you need this first, though.
Good luck, Guardian.
Okay.
So your book funnel is the book that you'll get for free. Inside that
is,
hey, go to my landing page and you'll get a free book.
Now, is that the magnet?
That's the magnet. Free giveaway. I'm going to get you to subscribe to my list, and when you do, you're going to get this thing.
Now, speaking of the list, that's something I found absolutely fascinating that Nick said. He said, your website has one purpose, and it's to build your email list.
That is pretty much it. It is
now,
very...
That is completely counterintuitive to what I would have said.
No.
But I find this fascinating.
Well, he says it has secondary purposes.
Yeah,
but,
yeah.
But yeah, this is... and I have been learning that the email list has been important, and I've said before that I wish I'd started earlier building it.
But there is no reason to hem and haw on that because we're learning.
We're learning. So I would say for young authors out there, get started on their email list now because it's definitely if you're paying for advertising on Amazon or Facebook or whatever, it's kind of hit or miss whether you're going to get to the people and whether they're going to click, right?
But again, let's step it back. You just said to young authors, start building that email list.
Yeah.
But we're talking about how do we build that email list.
Yeah.
And the way that you think that we should not build the email list is having that pop-up window that gets in your face and says,
the pop-up window,
join
yeah.
our email list.
Well, I mean, I guess
find it annoying, too. I
guess it's that marketing theory is that you want to put forward the benefit to somebody so that they want to give you their email address, right?
Right.
You don't want, if you ask them, hey, give me my email, give me your email address, you're asking them a favor. But if you say, I have this free book. Here's this cool free book. They're like, oh, okay. And then they're like, to do that, may I have your email list, email address?
So it's not really free. There is a trade.
There is a trade.
The trade is that if you want the free ebook, you got to give up your email, which is fine.
Which is fine.
I'm more than okay with that.
I've done that myself with other people's books.
But I think it should be noted that these types of action items, because that's another marketing term, action item. The action item is that you're if you give me your email, I give you a free ebook.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm not crazy about the pop-up window that offers that straight away when I go to a website.
Mm-hmm.
You have said you're not crazy.
No,
about it. I'm sure there are people who listen to this podcast that are screaming right now at their podcasters.
I hate that window.
Don't do that. But here is the truth of it. Yeah. The reason we see it so much is because it works. Why do you think we all get spam? Because 80% of it. No, I'm sorry. 80% of it goes unanswered, but it's at 20%. And yes,
that makes it worth it.
I'm pulling these numbers out of my behind. Just roll with me. But it's that it's
even if it's 1%, it's still
even
worth
if it's 1%. You know, when the spam monsters release their email out into the wild, at least 1 to 5%, and that I do know, I believe that's a stat from the Identity Theft Council. They're responded to.
Mm-hmm. But I think in Nick's thing, it's that if that pops up in your face, it's demanding something of you before you have
any time to enjoy the content.
Yes. Yeah, well, and also true. And also you know, when they go and they click on that button that says get the book, they have chosen to go and get that book.
Right.
They otherwise they're feeling like they're being shoved into, you know, give me your email address. However, no, I'm going to bust out.
However, when I first arrived to your first 10kreaders.com,
yeah, something popped up.
Something popped up. And I just went, and it was I give Nick credit. I do want to have a beer with this guy because he said yes, give me the free ebook, and then no, I reject your ebook.
And so I there's did, a little bit of a meaning.
I spurn your ebook like it
I
would a rabid
good
dog.
Day, sir.
I said good day.
But he does not suggest. But he, strangely enough, he does not suggest doing that. And he's,
exactly
he says have it on the front page, make it big and bright and attractive and simple.
And when you say no, I'm not interested. I'm looking at the homepage right now. Yeah. I see right up front, get my free training.
Yeah.
Boom. Right there.
He's got a lot of free stuff that people can take advantage of. And I think I did sign up for a couple of those things before I went for the full course.
Now something else he was saying too about marketing and about free and the value of free. And this is something we've heard on Chuck Wendig over at TerribleMinds.com. But he did mention it's not a great idea though to place novels at 99 cents.
Oh no, yes. It's interesting as I've been
this,
going.
This I found really fascinating and I totally agree.
Going along with some of the things I'm like, oh, that's a good idea and I really want to do that. Other things I'm like, yeah, I agree with him. I must admit when I started watching the module on pricing, I was concerned that he was going to go, well, you need to make it free or 99 cents or whatever. And he doesn't, which is nice. And right. When I looked at the pricing that we have set for our books, it's well within his parameters. So I was quite pleased with that. He said that, you know, if you're going to be like over, I think it was $6.99, that's when people start bugging out, you know.
Right.
And it's up to each individual. And that's another nice thing I found about this course. He's not saying, well, you must do it this way or you're going to fail. He's like, it's up to you as an author to decide where you're going to price your book, what price point you're going to have.
Right.
He does use 99 cents and free for promotions and things like that. So,
right.
I'm only sort of halfway through at the moment, and my brain is, I had to go out and get an exercise book so I could write a notebook for you Americans and write down things and scrawl ideas about what I wanted to do for us.
Do you feel it's been worth it?
Yes, so far it's been very worth it. And one of the ones I really liked was the cover breakdown.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my God. You actually pulled me into that one. And I was like, this person thought it was a good idea to have this as
a
cover?
They had some two professionals. Wow. One that was, she did blurbs and one that did covers. And there were some of them there. He's like, yes, this would be a total tear down, redo all over again. Some of them were never get your family to draw covers unless
and the two authors that you pointed out the most, they didn't change their covers.
No, they didn't.
They're defiantly flipping off
you
these
will
authors
find that
in
with
the
people
wind.
That even when they're a professional,
not
they're
people,
like,
authors. Yeah, you find it with authors. It's a pride thing.
Yeah,
it's a no one likes to be told you made a mistake. Fix it.
They're always the
no
ones
one
that are like,
that.
Well, I maybe that's true for everyone else, but for me, I'm going to be the outlier. I'm gonna bust the system. No, you're not.
No,
one's
going
to buy that book.
No.
It looks ugly and
it's
amateur.
It's a crappy cover. It's a crappy cover.
Yeah.
And I mean, now this isn't necessarily marketing, but this is.
Well, no, your cover is the first thing that people
see.
No.
What I'm saying is this is Authors 101.
Yeah.
When I hear about authors, when they say, oh, well, you know, I'm going to cut corners. I got a friend who's going to get this. I can skip a round of edits, and I'm just gonna put all my money into my marketing. Well, how are you doing your marketing? Well, I got a blog, I got a Facebook, I got Twitter. Well, all those systems are free. So I mean, again, it's one of those things where authors can sometimes be cheap as chips, and if you want to make money, you've got to spend money.
Well, it's interesting. I mean, and this
you've got to make an
and
investment.
This course is. You can pay over months,
right.
But it's like 500.
Right.
But I mean,
but it's an investment in your, it's an investment in your career. It's an investment in our career.
Tax deductible.
And it's tax deductible. But the other thing, but I mean, some of the other things that that you've got me thinking about, because you've been helping me through this as well, and saying, oh, we're going to try this, we're going to do this. In fact, we need to get a to-do list together.
Oh yeah, I've got one in the back of my notebook.
and we're going to divvy up what's going on, because you know, you and I have been called, you know, a power couple, especially with social media and our marketing on the digital front. It's great and all. I mean, and we've done some things that maybe some authors have never thought about doing. We've done a lot of really, I wouldn't say edgy things, but we've done things that no authors have gone, hey, I never thought about doing that. But that doesn't mean we stop learning.
Yeah.
I mean,
well, actually, one of the modules ahead is a Facebook module.
Really?
And it's apparently talking about some new developments in Facebook that authors can make the most of. So I'm going to be curious about that one. But I'm not jumping ahead. I'm going through
one step at a time, writing
things down in my head, trying not to explode. but the other nice thing I should point out about this is that once you have paid for the course, you know, things change, and Nick updates his course, you know, fairly regularly. So you get all those updated courses. You're in for life.
Oh, nice.
Like, you've paid for it, so you get all the things that are in that course.
So what about stuff like Patreon? Does he have a
no?
He doesn't cover Patreon
that I've seen so far. I've looked through the contents, and I've seen sort of vaguely what the sections are called, but I haven't seen any Patreon stuff.
And I like that.
Yeah.
I there's a part of me that goes, okay, that's kind of cool, because
nothing about Kickstarter or anything like that, which
again is fine, because Kickstarter and Patreon are not necessarily about.
They're
their own thing, and they're not necessarily about marketing your book. Mm-hmm. They're about funding your book or funding your career.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes authors tend to get a little, you know, we're gonna kickstart this book, or we're gonna run a Patreon. We got plenty of friends. You've got a Patreon. I'm kind of staying clear of the Patreons, because to me, I want to focus less on, well, here's where my next source of income is coming from. I want to be like, I've got a book coming out soon with Operation Endgame. I want us to end strong.
Yeah.
And I want to focus on not necessarily how do we just market Endgame, but how do we get new readers on board with Phoenix Rising and our past books.
Well, I think that in terms of this marketing one, we're actually in a good position to be doing it.
Yeah.
Because we've got a lot of books, a lot of backlist. And the stuff that he's talking about is evergreen content. It's not just... like he says in the latest module I saw, he said when New York houses do publishing, it's 3 months. That's what they're concentrating on.
Yeah.
If they're doing marketing for you, which you hope they are, but maybe they're not, they'll be doing it in that 3 months, and then they'll forget about you pretty much.
Right.
So
that's if they get the marketing.
Whereas
right.
this is concentrated. He talks about being making a career. This is a career thing.
Right. Right.
And he says that he's not concentrating on short blips. This is a long term, long tail situation that he's trying to aim for. So he's, but he does have a module on a launch, a release. How to have a really good release. So I'm interested to see if we get some tips for that.
Hey, now, hold on a second. You're talking to a guy who launched his first book with pirates, crashing his book launch, and he did record sales for that Barnes & Noble. I'm just saying.
Yeah, it's that time when you're asking...
Oh, what's in the box?
Inside the Ark are treasures beyond your wildest aspirations.
Time for a Loot Crate looky-loo on the shared desk.
What's in the fucking box?
You want to see it open as well as I.
I do, because...
I do. I've got it over here.
Yeah,
so.
Well, you're actually running this one, because I think I was the one that
was... You
got
the previous one?
I was the one handling it. You're
okay.
Doing this one.
All right. What's the theme?
The theme is... Actually, no, you give me the box. You were passing stuff to me, I remember, so you got first dibs on it. Remember,
it's too late now.
No, last month...
It's on this side.
Last month was Guardians.
I don't know
if
what
you
you're
remember.
Talking about. Now,
this one is Alter Ego.
Well,
this one is alter ego. So
maybe you're my alter ego.
Why don't you just pass me the box?
Oh, there you go.
Because
I was going to help with your marketing of your website.
And now you're just going to let me flap in the wind.
Oh, no, I'm not going to.
As you do.
Okay, open that puppy up.
All right, so we're opening us up. And this is, again, this is alter ego.
And we played Alter Egos once, remember, on Chris Lester's Metamore City.
That's right. That's right. Seems appropriate.
It does seem appropriate.
Okay.
What so do you know? I see there's a t-shirt at the top.
We're starting off with, this is very clever.
What is it?
It's Transformers. It's Transformers. And we're not talking about Michael Bay. This is classic Transformers.
You'll wear that, won't you?
I would work out in this. And
Transformers.
But it's very cool because it starts on the far end of the shirt as the semi.
And then it goes eventually goes through
all the different
phases. Prime?
To Optimus Prime.
It's Optimus.
To the real Optimus Prime.
That's about
Prime.
As much as I know about Transformers, except for the song.
This one's neat.
Ooh.
From Q-Fig.
Ooh.
From Q-Fig.
Oh, it's Spider-Man, because Spider-Man's coming out. So, ooh, I like that. We like the Q-Figs.
We do dig the Q-Figs.
So it is a Mania Grips Looters Spider-Man. So he's hanging upside down. I wonder if he's looking for a kiss or something. Oh, he's hanging. Literally, he's like a Weeble Wobble on this.
Yeah.
So we can.
And he's done in black.
When you're bored, you can just. Oh,
and he's done in black and white to look like the headline of the Daily Bugle.
When you're bored, you can just give Spider-Man a flick. And watch him sway.
There you go.
Oh, I'm pulling him out. Sorry.
And there you go. Oh, that's very cool.
Yeah, he's on like a.
He's on a lamppost.
He's on a lamppost.
Man, I like those Q figs. But you know what? The funny thing about the Q, it's okay to pull it apart because I'm talking over all the glamour. The thing about the Q figs, I went to their website and it looked like they had more variety of Q figs through Loot Crate than they did online.
Oh, really? Well, they're probably pretty. I mean, Loot Crate's a big deal, so
that's
probably
true.
But yeah, you shake it and he wobbles and he's shooting out spider goop. Spider goop.
Ew, ick. And then we got this.
What is it? A Hulk
bowl.
A Hulk bowl.
A Hulk bowl.
You know, it's a finger bowl. It's a finger bowl because it's got Hulk's fingers on it.
Yeah, I could actually see you eating your morning cereal out of that in a very Ashame sort of way.
Yeah, it's big enough for a small bowl of cereal.
There you go.
Does it glow in the dark? That would be cool.
That would be fantastic.
What do you got now? Got like a little book?
Collection of DC Comics, The New 52. I believe these are the covers of The New 52. When DC said we're doing a total reboot.
Oh, it's got some of the
bombshells. Yeah, and it's got the new Batgirl. I love the new Batgirl.
Yeah. Oh, the covers are pretty sweet looking.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, the covers are very, very sweet. Yeah. Very cool.
Anything else?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We're still going. We have our Loot Crate pin, which is... you'll appreciate that one.
The
Loot Crate pin is the
Jekyll, is it Jekyll and Hyde?
No, it's the Green Goblin.
Oh, it's the Green Goblin.
Very very heavy on the Spider-Man. Very heavy on the Spider-Man.
Yeah, well, this movie's coming out next month.
Yes,
isn't it?
It is. Looking forward to Spider-Man Homecoming.
Yeah, yeah, and even our daughter is looking. She's not a big spider person, but she's looking forward to that. So, any of these things in the box, or are we gonna eat cereal out of the green?
If you want to eat cereal out of the green Hulk bowl, you're more than welcome to.
I don't know. It's plastic. I like ceramic.
Yeah. Then you know what? I think the Hulk bowl will probably go into the prize pack.
Yes. Which you did deplete a little bit at AwesomeCon.
Yes, we did. Yes, we did. We did do that.
But now we can fill it back up
again.
We're
keeping the Q-Fig, though. We're definitely keeping the Q-Fig. Alter Ego, not a bad crate. Guardians was a tough one to top from last month.
That was we kept everything out of
that. Yeah, we kept everything. That was a really, really good one to hang on to.
It's nice to know that this Hulk bowl is not a toy. It says on the bottom, not a toy.
Well, that's good.
I was going to like throw it
I was
know, around.
Or... craving to wear it as a hat. I don't know.
It could make a great hat.
It would.
Writers off the clock. So what do you want to do?
I don't know. What do you want to do?
I don't know.
No idea.
We had a very, very special, I would say.
It was a good family time.
It was great family time because we introduced our daughter to the classics. Yeah.
All right, sweethearts, what are you waiting for? Breakfast in bed? Another glorious day in the Corps.
Yes, sir.
Day in the Marine Corps is like a day on the farm.
Yes, it is.
Every meal's a banquet.
Yes, it is.
Every paycheck a fortune.
Amen.
Every formation a parade. I love the Corps.
Man, this floor is freezing. Oh, man. Yeah, so Boom, we've been trying to...
Well, we quote aliens a lot.
All
I'm sure
the time.
A lot of people do.
All the time.
But
and the thing is that, you know, so Boom is at a really weird age. She's
about to be 13 next week.
She's about to be 13. But we're trying to introduce her to some of these great movies.
Mm-hmm.
And the first R film that she actually watched was The Matrix.
Yes.
And I loved
her face when he was coming out of the goop.
When he came out of the pod.
Yeah.
It was priceless.
She was like, what?
I believe Boom was actually 11 when she saw The Matrix.
I know, it was this year. She was 12.
Oh, was it when she was 12? Yeah. So she was 12 when she saw The Matrix, and her mind was absolutely and totally blown. Just mm-hmm. absolutely and totally blown. And we were like, okay, well, we got to get her to Aliens. But then we were hemming and hawing because... Okay, so if we show her Aliens,
oh my gosh,
do we show her Alien first? And a lot of people asked me. They said, are you showing her Alien? And I think the best response that I gave was to Jared Axelrod was when I said, no, it was actually to Helen, aka Cynical Woman.
Yeah.
I said to her, I said, no, she's not ready for Alien. Heck, I've seen Alien and I'm not ready for Alien.
It is a very intense.
And Jared liked that. Yeah. Jared liked that tweet. But no, Alien is a very intense movie. It's just.
There's a lot of tension. A
lot of tension. You still have that tension in Aliens.
Oh, yeah, we do. My hand. She was holding my hand and it was. I don't know if I'm crippled or not, but I feel like I was close to being crippled by it. Yeah.
Just remember, you can type one-handed. It's okay.
It was funny that the bit that she found the most intense, like consistently for a long period of time, and I'd sort of forgotten about that really intensity, was when they first go
they first
into
get
the
there.
And
yeah.
they first go
they first
in
get there. Right.
And they see the holes and the roof and the ceiling.
Yeah.
And, you know, and that's. And because we were watching the director's cut, we decided to go for the director's cut.
No, we didn't decide. It was done. You're going for the director's cut because in Cameron's own words, the director's cut is 40 miles of bad road.
Yeah, he definitely added like 10 miles to the bad road.
And the thing that I like over the director, I mean, I've been a fan of Aliens for you know, ever since it came out. I mean, I got great memories of that mm-hmm. movie. The thing about the director's cut, which I saw probably 10 years after Aliens came out.
As soon as the director's cut was available.
Yeah. The stuff that they cut was stuff about Ripley's backstory.
Yeah.
You find out that Ripley was a single mom.
Yeah.
And you find out that she, she had a daughter. That she left behind.
Well, it was probably a run. I think she said, oh, I'll be back for her.
For her 11th birthday.
11th birthday, yeah.
She said, I was going to be back for her birthday, her 11th birthday. And that, you know, and it's tragic. And the thing that I never understood in the original theatrical release of Aliens was at the very end. When Newt calls Sigourney Weaver mommy.
Yeah.
Or sorry, calls Ellen Ripley mommy. I was like, where'd that come from?
Yeah.
I mean, they were
now
getting tight.
Now it made more sense, yeah.
But it made a whole lot more sense, especially her reaction to it mm-hmm. when she says it. And that's the other thing we noticed. Aliens. I mean, how many times have we seen Aliens? I mean,
I can't count.
Many times as we've seen Die Hard. I mean, it's. I'd seen it more.
It was when I was at university. It was our go-to movie when you're just chilling with your friends.
Yep.
Throwing Aliens, and we would banter around
quotes.
All Hudson's quotes.
Yeah, all of Hudson's quotes.
Yeah.
Game over, man. Game over.
Actually, I remember we played a board game based on Aliens.
There have been.
It was quite good.
There have been two video games. There's been a board game. There have been some successful home console games.
Well, after watching it, the Alien, what's the one with the VR?
Oh, no. You see, that was the thing. I actually got from GameStop a used disc of Alien Isolation.
Yeah.
I never took it out of its case.
It was too scary.
No. It scared Phil Rossi.
Yeah, and you were like, nope.
I was like, wait a minute. Phil Rossi got scared by this game? I'm not playing it. I am not playing this
Your
game.
Would implode.
Phil Rossi scares the crap out of me, and you want me to play a game? And then I saw some still shots of the movie. I mean, from the game, and I was like, "Oh hell no!" What was I thinking? I mean,
yeah.
There's a part of me that still wants to play it though, just for that. I got to get that fixed. But
don't think so. You'd be awake for
exactly.
like 3 days
now. But there've been a lot of video games released for Aliens, and what I find amazing though is that the movie still holds up.
Oh, it's great.
There's a couple of scenes where you can tell that they're
against the projection.
A projection, but they are so. But
there's only a couple.
There's only a couple. The rest of it, it just holds. And then that whole reveal of the alien queen.
Yeah.
I mean, I was getting goosebumps.
I said to our daughter that's a puppet.
Yeah.
And she was like, "What?"
And then
the loader was a puppet as well.
The loader was a puppet as well. And I mean, just it just holds up so well. Airtight writing.
Yeah.
I mean, what a great way to reveal all of the characters. And
you mean when they get out of their pods?
Yeah, when they get out of their pods, and then when you meet all the Marines. I mean, it's just you're also getting a lot of backstory and a lot of as you know, Bob's.
Yeah.
But they do it in such a crafty way. Like for example, Serena had not seen Aliens.
Yeah.
But you had
it was
the hearing.
All in there. She didn't really need to.
No, she didn't need to because it's all.
Well,
in
she did
there.
Need to worry one thing as they were entering. The station, she leans over. She goes, "Mom, does anyone die?" I'm like, "I don't know. Find out.
There are
going to be a lot of deaths, actually."
You just got to hold on some. And every time you go back to watch Aliens,
yeah, there's more stuff.
You pick up something new. I remember. I've seen this movie countless times, and yet this time I was watching it, I just went, "Oh wow." Vasquez was the one who wanted to kill Gorman because of leading them into the teams. And at the very end, it's Gorman that goes back for Vasquez and dies with
her. They
die
together.
And I'm like, that's cool.
He finally mans up. And
I would dare say that movies like Aliens, that type of circular writing where you've got the colorful characters and you've got that sort of, you know, the one character in one scene basically disses another character, but then there's a moment of redemption.
Yeah.
That comes out a lot
Gorman,
in my writing.
Yeah, Gorman's redemption. I feel like Gorman, if he'd survived this and actually done missions, would have been a halfway decent commander. It's just that he's got zero experience.
He's
like the worst person they could have put in charge.
How many drops is this for you, Lieutenant?
38.
Simulated. How many combat drops? 2.
Including this one.
And the guy sold it.
So I think at the end you see that he actually is a decent guy and a good leader. Could be a good leader.
No, I would go even further. Let's go even further into Aliens. This is more about
dive
this,
in now
a little bit as writers.
As
because
writers,
I mean,
yeah.
We were going to be talking about. I wanted to talk about the experience with watching Aliens for the first time with our daughter. Which I will say, there was one time that I tweaked it up a little bit, and it was right when
you were mean.
I was mean. It was we were sitting there, and it was Bishop. You did good. I did. Oh yeah. And I'm not saying anything. And the minute you hear that thunk, and the tail comes through Bishop, I just screamed, "We're not done yet! We're not done yet!"
And she's like freaking out,
and
like
she's cutting the circulation off in your hand.
Yeah, I think I broke a couple of knuckles in there.
And going back to my my talk on the big score.
Mm-hmm.
I think what was great was you hear that,
and she noticed that. She said, "Oh, what is that? The soundtrack?"
Yeah,
and that sort of discordant when they're walking around.
The beautiful thing about that soundtrack is that when they wanted to emphasize something, it just went dead silent.
Yeah,
because you hear that you had the they rip off the grate, and then you got the scream. The music's building. You see the alien claw coming, and then. Total silence, and all you see is the door coming up and that backlit forklift.
And everyone's going, "Yeah!"
Everybody's losing their effing minds. But
she loved watching it.
Yeah, she did.
Hand, not so much. She crushed probably four or five fingers.
But from a writing perspective,
oh, it's airtight.
But here, and this is where I'm going. Is this why all the sequels and even I would dare say the prequels suck so bad?
No, they
because
just suck.
After, well, that's the thing. After Aliens, where do you go?
Oh, well, you know, after I saw Aliens, I was expecting the next movie would be about Hicks and Newt and reconstructed Bishop at Earth. That's what I thought. Right. At Earth, something well, I mean, some sort of alien.
But you see, that was the thing. Aliens. There's an Aliens comic that we actually got from the Aliens loot crate.
Yeah, and it's about.
It's dark.
It's pretty dark.
It's really dark. It's set
Newton,
like
Newton and Hicks end up together.
No, Newton Hicks do not end up
Don't
together.
They?
Newt gets it on with one of the Marines that goes to the actual like
oh,
like
it's another
alien
Marine.
Planet, and then it turns out that she was actually hooked up with an android.
But what about Ripley? Is she alive? Or disappeared?
I don't think she shows up. But, at least I don't remember her showing up in that. I just remember it being very dark.
Yeah,
I reread it after I got the 30th.
I suppose the reason that they didn't go back to Earth is the aliens are cool and all, but they don't know how to fly a spaceship.
No.
So they're stuck on that planet.
Or wherever they wind
up
being.
Or wherever they are.
Yeah. But the thing I was getting at was that the studios, when they looked at the at this as a possible follow up, they're like, oh no, we can't do that. But then Alien 3, it opens, sorry, spoiler alert, it opens with Newt and Hicks both dying.
Like in the first minute.
In the first minute. Bishop is thrown in the garbage heap, and Sigourney Weaver finds herself
and
Ripley
finds herself
in a weird penal colony thing
with priests in it. Right?
No. That's you're thinking about the 30th anniversary thing.
Oh, okay.
Priests are involved in that.
I thought there was a priest. I can't remember. I've wiped it from my memory. It was so terrible. I
mean, every sequel. I mean, even Alien Resurrection. That was a red hot mess, and they had a really good cast.
They keep making them, don't they?
Like popcorn. And
I mean, how many are there? So there's Alien 3, then there's Alien versus Predator.
Well, then you got Alien Resurrection, Alien versus Predator, which was goofy but watchable ish.
Okay. They did another one.
It was Alien versus Predator Requiem.
Then you had Prometheus.
Then Prometheus.
And then the one that just came out.
And then Covenant. And the thing
is, seven after the two good ones.
And when I was sitting there watching Covenant, I'm like, okay, so let me see if I got this straight. Spaceship goes to a planet, finds these eggs.
Someone's always going to stick their face in there.
And then one by one, they're all getting picked off. I mean, where do you go?
Yeah.
I mean, the whole.
Well, that's why we're stopping.
Right. Because, and we said that
we will take her back and watch Alien when my hand is healed, maybe.
And when she's 20.
Yeah, I don't think she's ready. She's not ready for Alien.
But you know, from a writing perspective, that was what made Aliens, I think, work. In the original Alien, it was one alien and eight crew members, and one by one, they all get picked off. Mm-hmm. Made perfect sense. Aliens. There's more than one. Oh, but this time we got the Colonial Marines coming in. Oh, but they're finding themselves in hot water.
They're
now
a little cocky,
and that made it work. But after you go there, what's next? And there really wasn't anywhere for me. There wasn't anywhere that you know because you know Ripley's out of the picture now. They've been talking about doing
Neil Blomkamp was going to
work with Sigourney Weaver on doing some sort of.
Apparently, that was nixed because now they're doing Prometheus and those things.
Because Ridley Scott's like, and then for Ridley Scott to say, well, Prometheus isn't a prequel to Alien, I'm like, what are you talking about? It's a prequel to Alien.
Actually, is the latest one that came out? I think Ridley Scott's like an executive producer, but he didn't direct it.
Oh, you're right. You're right. He was an executive producer.
Which is why it might be slightly tolerable. Somebody said it was like. Okay.
That's still not a good review.
No, it's
for
not
a
film. It's not as bad as Alien 3, and it's slightly better than Prometheus, but, you know. It's one of those things when you, like, watch it when it comes on TV.
I have one question. Is Jesse Eisenberg in this movie? Is Jesse Eisenberg in this movie?
I don't know. Is he?
Do we want him to be?
No.
Actually, I think I do, just to see him, you know, get the face hugger and everything. So we've already done AwesomeCon, which was awesome.
It was awesome.
Awesome was amazing. Had a great time there. We got BlurredCon coming up.
Ooh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. June 30th to July 1st.
But we're going to be there on Sunday.
We're only going to be there Sunday, which I believe is July
2nd.
So I'm sorry. BlurredCon is July 30th. Jeez. June 30th to July 2nd.
Yes.
And I will be there with Nick bright and early, 9 a.m. Sunday.
Yeah, 9 a.m. Sunday.
So we must have pissed off somebody. Sorry about that, BlurCon.
Well, they don't know us, so you know.
I know. We're gonna get in there. And then the 14th, 15th, and 16th of July, we have a return trip to Detroit to
Motor City SteamCon.
We are looking forward to that.
Did you know that we're gonna be part of the pajama party?
No, I didn't.
We are going to be part of the pajama party.
Okay, so hit me up to this. Do these have to be steampunk pajamas, or
no,
do we just
show
up?
No, I just think it's regular pajamas.
Okay. Oh, what? Does that mean we get to break out the Christmas onesies?
No,
I'm not wearing. We're going to wear those puppies.
We're going to wear those puppies.
We are. Yes.
Well, you can.
Okay, fine. I will. You watch me.
Happily.
Okay, and then in August, we have on the 19th, looking forward to this, on the 19th of August, we have the Mechanicsburg Mystery Weekend.
Do you notice how cool a town name that is for a steampunk event?
So
it's not a steampunk event. It's a murder.
Murder mystery, but we've been invited because we write steampunk. We write steampunk spy fiction.
Yes. So we're murders do happen.
Murders happen often. Sometimes the most grotesque ways possible.
So what's the name of that bookshop again?
Is
it Murder by the Book?
Yes, it's Murder by the Book. You're absolutely right. It's Murder by the Book.
And that's a Mechanics.
And group, when we have details.
Beautiful tea shop there as well. We could stop in for tea.
That's what I was getting to. The last time we were in Mechanicsburg, we were having a steampunk event.
Mm-hmm.
And we did a wonderful tea shop event.
Mm-hmm.
And we got that great Rosemary stuff.
Well, that's because it was called the Rosemary House.
That's right. It was the Rosemary House.
They got a beautiful herb shop on one side, a tea shop on the other, and a beautiful garden. That's where we saw the teapot tree. Remember,
that's
they'd
right.
hung teapots from a tree.
Oh, it was a great event. And they made us feel very welcome.
Oh, they made little cookies.
Little cookies and pasta with little gears and stuff. That was very cool. And that's going to be so if you're in the Mechanicsburg PA area, that's going to be August 19th. And then September 1st through the 3rd, Nick Kelly and I are returning to Escape Velocity.
Woohoo!
Looking forward to that. Escape
what are you doing
Velocity.
There?
We actually are doing several panels at Escape Velocity. I'm supposed to be doing the big score there again, but I'm actually going to be doing it as a panel.
Interesting.
I'm not sure how that's going to go, but
bring your own device, maybe.
I need to touch base with Escape Velocity and go, is this still going to be a panel? And if so, I need some contact information because these guys need to know what I'm doing.
Yeah, what you're bringing to the party.
So they can either say we're doing something different or they want to do something different, because if they're going to do something different, then we're not calling it the big score.
No, do something else. Yeah. The big score is your
right,
baby.
But Nick and I are doing slightly off key.
Oh, cool! That'll be a fun panel.
It's the first time we did it at MAGFest. It was great fun. We're also going to be doing some Nick and I are also going to be on a panel about AI.
Ooh.
Because the theme is AI.
Oh, okay.
And we're going to talk about the pros and cons and the dangers.
I can't do that.
Exactly.
You might need to watch. I mean, we've watched some good movies on AI. So
from 2001 to Ex Machina. I mean, you can name it. And then we've read some great books. The earlier I mentioned Chuck Wendig, Zeros. Great little dive into some AI gone bad. So So that's what we've got now happening between end of June and the end of August and the beginning of September. But if you've got an event, if you want to have
this
juju that we got going on, you can reach out to us at 703-791-1701. Not only can you leave us voicemail, but yes, we are reachable through WhatsApp.
WhatsApp.
So you can use that.
Just email me at pip@pjballantine.com. I arrange our schedule.
Or t@tmorris.com. To tell me about the event so I can forward it on to Pip. You can, and then, of course, you can find us on Facebook and Twitter, all that great stuff. Instagram, we're out there, and we're ready to talk to you. So, Pip, where do we go from here?
Well, I think we should go upstairs and clean the kitchen.
That's right.
Because what's in the kitchen?
Different segment altogether.
Different segment. I'm joking. Okay.
But until next time, remember that the Shared Desk is a non-commercial, no derivative, share alike United States 3.0 license. You can find out more about that license that protects this podcast at creativecommons.org and read about it in Podcasting for Dummies, the third edition.
Coming
in September. So until next time, enjoy the ride.
I'll catch you later.